Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 23 of Season 8 of Movie Rabbit, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Walt Murray of the Wilder Ride. Welcome back to the show, Walt.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be back for a third day.
Yes, hump day.
Hump day it is, finally.
That it is. All right, so minute 23 begins with a continuation of all the trench warfare and ends with a squad preparing to enter the bunker. So we ended things yesterday with Jackson finally, getting rid of those pesky Germans who were holding them up from moving into the next stage of the invasion. And then we basically just had a lot of people using firing squads to make sure that they were completely dead.
Yeah, definitely finished them off. Made sure that job was taken care of.
No question about that. They're thorough. I guess you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, and no end of wasting ammo, but again, like I understand, I totally get why they were so geared up at that point.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. So basically, at this point, we see the guys in the trenches fighting. Did you notice that there is a truck that is burning in the background?
I did, and it's rolling along, right? That's the one that's rolling through the scene, burning.
Yeah. Actually, no, it's not moving. It's stationary.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the truck right behind the trench. Yes,
I got it. Yeah, the truck behind the trench, and it's just and what's great here is that you see all these like heads popping up from one trench, shooting at the guys in the other trench. That type of thing. It reminded me of. What's the name of that game? Where you need to pound
whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. There you go. It reminded me of whack-a-mole because you see like a head pop up and then down, up and down, and you see explosions all around, and you see, I guess you, besides whack-a-mole, you can say pop goes the weasel, I guess.
Yeah, and they're right on top of each other. I mean, they're like 20 feet away from each other.
That's right, and we're not even talking about how close, how close combat we're gonna get to, at the battle at the end of this movie. but here, they at least have a little bit of cover in this case, and there they don't have any cover.
And they're when they keep popping up, going down, popping up, going down, that has to just be so crazy and scary, because you're popping up and you could get hit, you're hoping to get a shot off. I mean, that's just horrible.
Completely. But again, they're putting us in that situation where, we can get a better perspective or a better idea of what these men possibly went through at the time. The scariness of it all.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. But you got a job to do, and you got to keep moving. You got to keep fighting. And the camera work, too, is just amazing, because you feel like you're right there with them.
Completely. 100%. And as the camera is panning, did you notice that at about 6 seconds, we have a shot of one of the guys that's shooting from the trench, one of the Rangers, and it might just be me, but it looks like that his helmet is got so many holes in it.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, and I kept stopping on him.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if there was a hole in it or if it was mud. I can't tell, but it looks like he got shot through the helmet.
It really does. It's like no one's going to notice. Just put this helmet on. I mean, again, it could be that he lost his helmet and just grabbed the first helmet that was there, and it just happened to be one with a guy who just got shot. I mean, there are many explanations of how this could be this way, but I just thought it was very it stood out.
Yeah,
as they're panning across,
prop work, or he might have just gotten muddy along the way. It adds to the whole scene. This is not clean. Sure. This is not, this is war, and it has that feel to it.
And I mean, again, it makes sense. You know, we both just gave plausible explanations as to what it is. You know, I even tried watching it in slow motion and I couldn't figure it out because you don't have a clear enough shot that will let us see specifically what he, you know, what there is there.
No, for some reason, it didn't sit still long enough for us to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But either way, if even if it's mud or if it's there's holes in it, it's just showing the authenticity of everything that's going on here, which is just great.
Just great.
Yeah. And then as the shot continues, it you know, shows us more soldiers that are in the trenches, and then you know we have some of them that jump out from the trench and move in front of the camera, you know, moving towards the next trench and stuff like that. And as they're doing it, we see a group of 8 Germans that are running across the screen from, you know, from left to right. And, you know, these 3 guys just stand up, exposing themselves even more. And they just start shooting at them and they end up, you know, killing all of them or shooting all of them at least. You know, every one of these 8 Germans that's running, you know, I don't know if they're trying to retreat or if they're looking for a better position or whatever it is. But, you know, either way, they all just get mowed down by these guys that are standing there.
Yeah, and I'm sure in the chaos of this whole situation, it's hard to know what the right move is.
Correct. Correct. For either side from that perspective.
Yeah, you're just looking for the safest place to keep on fighting.
That's right. And then the shot changes and we see Miller advancing towards, I guess, a bunker or something like that. And once again, we get a fraction of a shot, you know, from behind him of the beach where you see it is, again, the attention to detail here is just amazing because here you have, you know, the idea that there are these squads of soldiers that are fighting further on inland, but you still have the Higgins boat showing up with more troops, and you have people running across the beach and stuff like that. And within the same shot of showing us, you know, Miller working with his men to try and clean the area, you see behind him, you know, the number of you know, support. Or the soldiers, everyone behind them. There's just so many of them that are behind them there,
and just pouring in.
Yeah, but it's there just for a fraction of a second to remind us, you know, where we are.
And you have this active pillbox that's still pouring fire down on the beach on the guys coming ashore.
That's right, and the whole idea is for them to try and take out that pillbox. You know, let's find a way to stop it. And Miller's leading his men, and you know they get behind some sort of area that will keep them somewhat safer. You know, we see Caparzo joining them also and stuff like that. And then you know Hargov screams and goes, "Ryben!" And then Miller goes, "Let's go, Sarge, go!" And they go, "Ryben!" You know.
Yeah, and. Here come the grenades.
With his BAR, let's deal with it. You know, let's figure out how we're going to do this. And we can see that Miller looks very anxious, you know, with this whole idea of wanting to throw the grenades. You know, he's like, all right, just have someone pass them off to me. He's going to lob them in.
Yeah, and I've always, every war movie you ever see where they do this, I always think that is insane, but somebody else pulls the pin, throws it to somebody who throws it, you know.
Well, isn't that what you do when you play football? You know, you do have the guy who chucks the ball to the quarterback. So
yeah, but it's not explosive.
it might be.
Pull the pin, toss the grenade to somebody who's going to throw the grenade. I would rather them just throw me the grenade, let me pull the pin, and go from there.
Right. Okay. I completely understand that.
And I guess I'm too much of a butterfinger. I would be more worried about me dropping it.
Yeah, I think that's a little more of an issue.
Yeah, I don't trust myself enough to do that.
Yeah, so don't throw grenades at Walt for him to use later.
No, don't trust me to do that.
Exactly. Not a good option.
No, not at all.
Right. And as things are moving along, you know, they throw the grenade and the grenade explodes. Once again, lots of debris. You know, great special effects giving us great all this explosion. Debris.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like chunks that fall out that come very close to hitting them. I mean, you'd think that they would need to have done this in do you think these are practical effects?
I think so. It looks like it to me.
Yeah, that's what I would think also. So, you know, thinking that these are practical effects, you have to be very careful not to, not to hurt anybody with that. Because, you know, you have, I don't know if it's real debris or if it's foam debris or something like that, but still.
Well, and it feels very authentic, the way the guys are huddling down below the wall and treating it, even if it is foam, treating it like it's real debris with a real explosion. They do a great job of playing all these parts.
Yeah, for sure. Because, the whole thing is that they add as so much to the realism here, which I love. I really love that. And, you know, then they get ready for their assault and they move around, you know, from the left. And we see Caparza and Mellish, covering the exit from the bunker to try to see what's going to happen here, you know, with the whole thing. And at this point, we quickly see there's a guy who comes out of the bunker, you know, a German soldier, starts shooting at them, and they just mow him down. Very nonchalantly and easily, you know, the way to do it. I love the special effects that when they shoot the guy, we see like the dust come off his jacket type of thing. You know, it's like, how long have you been in that bunker?
Yeah. And that is something that you see more and more on more modern war movies that you didn't see in, like, The Longest Day, for example, where you would have that kind of effect. It was more just maybe a squib, maybe a red mark on their uniform, and they go down and they're dead.
That's right.
But you do see a lot more of that in more modern movies.
Yeah. And as they have their guns trained on the entrance, so we see two more guys run out, and they quickly dispatch both of them. And then they move into the trench at the beginning there, to get ready to try and figure out what they're going to do. And as they're doing that, we hear a random soldier in the background scream, "The place is full of them."
I missed that. And he's right. It is.
Exactly. I mean, it's very profound. I'm just surprised. How is it possible that the place in the, the bunker, the pillbox, is filled with Germans? How is that possible?
Quite a shock. Right. Shock.
Yeah. Again, you know, we'll never know if this was something that was scripted or just some guy ad-libbed it and decided that he was just going to, you know, scream it out.
Yeah, I've wondered that a lot of times. How much of this is just, hey, yell something that makes sense, and how much of it is scripted?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As I mentioned to you in the green room, you know, I have been rereading the novelization of the movie, and so there are things that are similar and are things that are very different. So, you know, in some ways it gives us an indication that stuff is, you know, which things are technically ad-libbed or not, but again, we'll never know, because it could be something that they decided to add in, based on the ad-lib. You know, could go either way from that perspective. So, yeah, it's an interesting way that they do this. You know, I like I like how in this movie every so often we do hear things from the peanut gallery type of thing. You know, it adds more
Yeah.
it adds more authenticity to the way that the stuff moves along.
I know very little about how they do sound on a set like this one, where it's outside, you've got all these things going on, gunfire, explosions, and how much of what is said back and forth is done in post and how much of it is done live. So, I'm probably a combination, I would guess, but it would be interesting to know how much they kept in of just the live, yelling back and forth, and how much of it is done in post.
Right. Again, most of this movie, they definitely had to do a lot of ADR. You know, there's no
I would think
question
so.
about
Yeah. Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
You know, there's that's not really something, you know, in this type of movie, you gotta have ADR because otherwise you're not gonna be able to hear anything that
Oh,
anyone's
yeah.
gonna be
No, you'd
saying.
never get a line in.
No. But I again, it's I love how they're able to not from a technical perspective, but that the actors are able to match, you know, their tone. And the say the same thing over and over.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. And it's got to be really difficult acting. The physicality of it alone is pretty amazing. But then to be able to talk back and forth and communicate at all is really impressive. And the work on this film is second to none. They do such a tremendous job.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. So I have nothing else for this minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention that we might have missed?
No, I think we've covered everything in my notes, and I was just so locked in on what a great job they did of remaining in character, remaining convincing. There's just a lot of movement and action in this minute, and it's just again another minute stacked here that's just done so well.
Yeah, really is. Again, this is one of those minutes where there isn't really much to add to it because there's everything that's going on. They show us everything. You know,
Yeah, they do.
there's really nothing that needs to be questioned here, I guess.
No,
Not that
I
we know.
don't think so. And there really aren't too many, there's nothing in here really that I see that doesn't fit. There doesn't seem to be any screw ups. There's, you don't see any of the crew standing in the background sipping coffee. It's, for all the chaos movement, it's seamless.
Right. Exactly. All right. So every Wednesday, we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guest will give their top five World War II films. So,
This
Walt,
was,
once
yeah.
again, start with your number five and work your way up.
This is a tough one for me. War movies, probably my favorite genre. So this was a tough one, but I narrowed it down to five. Patton, just great. George C. Scott as Patton was amazing. The next one, a really tough one to watch. I've only watched it twice, I believe, and that Schindler's List, just a tremendous movie, a very hard movie to watch.
Interesting.
The
Interesting that you say
inhumane.
that. I mean, I remember when it came out, and like I was avoiding going to see it because I said, you got to be in the right mood to go be able to go see it and stuff like that. And then someone said to me, "Well, this is the type of movie that's going to get you in the mood for wanting to watch it."
Right.
And it was so true.
Yeah, and the first time I watched it, just leaving with a overwhelming sense of the weightiness of the movie, the horror of the subject, and you just, it is a heavy movie. And then watched it a few years later with some friends, just as a, almost like, was it as powerful and as good as I remember it being? And it was even more so the second time. And I haven't watched it since, but it has stayed on my list as one of the great World War II movies of all time. The next one is one I saw, I think, probably when I was in fifth or sixth grade. Lee Marvin, Mark Hamill in The Big Red One. Not one that everybody has seen, but everybody should see it. Great movie.
Answer your question, I've seen it.
I'm gonna have a hard time finding one you haven't seen. but one of my favorites, always has been one of my favorites. There are two movies that are number two on my list that both go by the same name, same subject matter, one sort of a modern take on it, but Midway. There's a 1976 version, I believe it is, 76, 78. Mm-hmm,
76.
That is my favorite World War II Pacific movie. Just a phenomenal movie all the way around. Covers a lot of history in a couple hours of one of the most impactful and influential battles of World War II. And then finally, Saving Private Ryan. One of the top, if not the top, World War II movies for me.
All right, very cool, very cool. Wait, you like the modern version of Midway?
I liked it. I liked the older version better, much better.
Yeah,
but I also like the more modern.
The reason I didn't like the modern one is because I didn't think that they developed the characters well enough that you can differentiate between them in the modern one. But in the older one, they focused on a few of the characters.
And the battle was more the focus on the 76 version,
right,
where the relationships and the people seem to be more of the focus in the new one. I thought there were strengths in the new one that, you know, obviously CGI, you know, better developed camera work and options that way, but I still like the older version better.
Right. Okay.
If you're going to watch one of the two, see the 1976 version.
Yes, definitely. That goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So those are five of my top ones. Again, it's like, what are my top five today? There are a lot of great ones, but those are my top five.
All right. Excellent. So, Walt, you want to once again tell people where they can find Walt Murray?
You can find me over on a podcast called The Wilder Ride. We break down the movies of Gene Wilder 1 minute at a time. Season one was my favorite Gene Wilder movie and one of my favorite comedies of all time. And that is Young Frankenstein. And as we're recording, we're headed towards Halloween. So good movie to break out that time of year, any time of year. Season two, we covered Blazing Saddles, classic Mel Brooks, Gene Wilder comedy with a heavy statement, but definitely one to watch and check out our work on that. And then we had a couple of seasons of interviewing people and doing some other things during COVID and crazy roller coaster time of my life. And so now we're trying to figure out where we go from here, but those are our four or five seasons. So check us out at The Wilder Ride.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can send me an email at movierobminute@movierob.net. And if you want to check out my website, you can go to movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude. You